coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast. It was a holiday week where we both got busy in the kitchen recapping Thanksgiving, plus recapping that Black Friday match between Brooks and Brooksy. A lot to come out of that one. Also, we're tuned into King Richard and the GOAT of Magic as well. This week, we're sharing some red carpet clips from my California trip a couple weeks ago to the Mammoth Media Institute Open with all sorts of fun personalities from Hollywood and the golf community, plus sports headlines. And we always end with food, talking about our cooking, and all of it is brought to you by our friends, our new friends at Club Dr. Golf. Mike, you heard me tell you just how amazingly clean this wonderful solution cleans your clubs.
You did.
The thing I need to tell you about now is how fast it is. Everyone's wondering, yeah, all right, there's this little bottle you get from Club Dr., but how much am I using? You know, what's the wear and tear on this thing? It's literally spray, spray, wipe. It's that easy. This is the 2 to 3 second club care solution you need for your golf bag. It clips right onto the bag to make it easy to keep the club clean on the course. And the iron polishing solution restores that original shine for a more thorough, clean look on all of your golf clubs. Improves club performance, ball spin, speed control. You know that. It just gives you that little bit of better attitude towards each shot you're hitting when you have nice, clean club faces. Bring your clubs back to life and restore your club's original shine with a Club Doctor, either the cleaning solution or the polish. They're both quick, portable solutions. You can get the bundle right now and be sure to use promo code COL for 15% off any purchase. This is the perfect stocking stuffer gift for any golfer in your life. So check out clubdoctorgolf.com and use promo code COL for 15% off of your Club Doctor today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Tosi Snacks, and Club Dr. Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And before we get into really all the fun stuff that happened on Thanksgiving in our personal homes, which really we're going to cover a lot of stuff before we get to that because that'll be when we end with food. Let's actually talk about the feast that Brooks Koepka had over Bryson Brooksy DeChambeau, because while they were going to play this oddly chosen 12-hole match in Vegas and only took 9 holes for Brooks Koepka to win his quote-unquote major,
yeah,
and defeat down long-driving DeChambeau, Brooks was dialed in the entire time here. Just
dominant. Absolutely dominant at the Wynn Golf Club in Vegas. This ended up only being 9 holes. Mike, I was on the golf course Friday afternoon thinking, okay, I'll play, you know, early sunset, winter golf. I'll get in and I'll see the end of this match. All of a sudden, I'm getting texts from family members saying, well, that was quick. It was over before I even had the chance to tune in. I watched, obviously, the highlights and everything that unfolded. And it was just a Brooks Koepka ball striking clinic for the 9 holes that we did see. I think he carded 4 birdies on those 9 holes, a 4-3 victory over Bryson. And as he was hitting these iron shots, my favorite Bryson comment of the day was just asking Brooks, like, dude, where is this on the PGA Tour? you were saving all the good ones for me. You must really have some bad blood heading my way, because you could tell he was really unloading the clip on Bryson in that match on Friday.
Yeah, you know, and as Brooks said, this was his major, and as we all know, he only seems to show up at the majors, so I like that Brooks also acknowledged that that is the fact. And, of course, then at the very end, we had to ask the question whether these two had instantly become best friends, which both said no awfully quickly. So
very quickly, so quickly that you know they're telling the truth. They weren't even going to try and BS their way around that question, being like, you know, after seeing him today, got a little more respect. Nope, don't have any more respect for the guy at all. There was none of that. No love lost, indeed, between the two. So I guess, as lame as we kind of played the whole buildup and thinking this was going to be the end game, I actually appreciate that they didn't just kiss and make up like we thought this arc might end. So I appreciate that there might be another chapter in the story. Whenever that is, truly bad blood between the two. And I like that Brooksy really brought his game on Friday. It was fun to see the dominance. And honestly, we haven't really seen Koepka just dominate on the golf course like that in a while. It's fun to see him in that go get it mode.
All right, so this now begs the question, Brooks Koepka, how many majors is he going to win this next season?
Yes, that's right. I mean, he plucks them off two at a time, basically, mm-hmm. is the way it's been when he's had his form. I mean, you know I'm going to get suckered into picking him a bunch of times just because I always do. We'll resume those Twitter picks eventually. But yeah, I don't know. I put him down for one, I guess. Yeah, it feels like this could be a time of his career where he's due for one more bomb of a week to show up at a major championship venue. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't put it past him. Not sure what the future holds for Bryson. But I will say, Mike, Brooks dominated in nine holes. And then he went over to the Duke Gonzaga game in Vegas that night. And he was sitting courtside with Floyd Mayweather. So Lord only knows what happened when the two of those guys got together after Brooks collected his bounty for winning the match, partying with Mayweather all night in Vegas. I'm sure there were some stories to be had there.
I'm sure there was, and I'm sure we'll get very little of those details out of either of them.
Yes, that's right.
Let's also talk about the press conference that they had before this match, because there were a lot of good zingers going back and forth as well during that. And that was with past guest Jake Adams and his Country Club Adjacent podcast crew.
Yes.
Phil Mickelson was there as well. Can we talk about Phil during this whole match? I mean, when is he going to finally jump full time into the broadcast booth?
I know he's there. He wants to be center chair at the press conference. I mean, he wants a mic. It's clear that he wants to full-time be a part of this. So yeah, just hop in the booth, Phil. It's okay. You don't have to like ride around the whole time, but it was fun seeing him make his predictions. He obviously had his gigantic cup of coffee with him because obviously he has to carry that thing around with him everywhere.
Personal, and I just got to say, he's fairly invested in his personal brand.
Yes, all 17 chemicals in that coffee, according to the joke made in the presser. But it was fun to see them go back and forth on each other. Jokes about Bryson's all natural physique were had. Lots of fun to be had indeed. And it was just kind of refreshing to set the stage for what you knew was going to be a good mic'd up event to just have some comedy. And I love what Jake and the guys brought to that presser. As Jake said, press conference adjacent is the new term for the way that should be going down. I think we should have one of those before every single match now.
I wouldn't be opposed to something like that, especially if we can get a couple really kind of fiery guys up there to go back and forth and get some nice zingers going on instead of them just sitting in front of the press corps and just kind of, you know, let's get DJ up there with, I don't know, who's a good one to go up against with DJ?
I'm going to pick probably another bomber there. So, I mean, first of all, Pat Perez has got the biggest mouth on tour, so I'd love to see him. Yeah. JT can let it sling if you get him in the right environment. He hasn't done one of these matches yet, so that could be a guy that's on my radar soon. He'd definitely be fun in that press conference environment, especially with our stand-up buddies from Country Club Adjacent, too.
That's right, indeed. And you actually also got a chance to meet up with the Country Club Adjacent host back a couple weeks ago when you were at the Mammoth Media Institute Open out in California. And you got to chat with them on that first tee red carpet where you were set up all day. Let's take a quick second. Let's listen into that conversation we had with them back at the Open first tee.
What's up? We got Friday Beers and the Country Club Adjacent team. The ladies of the podcast have joined us. Hello, hello, hello. How's ladies' days going so far? How is it out there?
We're having quite a gal's day out here, let me tell you.
Okay, okay.
It don't matter. We still pretty, you know?
Yeah.
Don't matter.
I can see it.
Pretty well.
Flow's looking great. Jake, how are we feeling today? How's the drives going so far?
Drive's been absolutely atrocious, but you know, it's not really my game.
So you guys are famous for backing people off of their tee shots. You back each other off? Has anyone back each other off today so far?
To a detriment to our friendship.
Yeah. Mm. Vicious. Vicious, savage, inside jokes, stuff that's too personal all the time.
Me and Griff are both in therapy, too. Yeah. So
literally, we do. I joined couples therapy with him and his girlfriend because of what we do to each other. So
saves us money, too.
Yeah, it saves a lot of money.
Very financially efficient, yes.
I'm really key about to say because we had an absolute meltdown in Florida, just based on the fact that we're in Florida.
Yeah.
But so we haven't
No shouts out to Florida, by the way.
We haven't really been too harsh on each other.
Something in the air in Florida makes people violent towards their friends. And so we're glad we got out of there.
Love that. That was the country club adjacent boys. I'm sorry, the ladies of the podcast, as they love to refer to themselves. Hilarious group of guys. Love what they're doing. And Mike, like I said, they're very famous for backing people off their swing. You know, they'll roast you so hard that they will get you to stop everything you're doing on the tee and just back off completely. Do you think you'd be able to get off a tee shot if you were just getting continuously roasted by four stand-up comedians, or would you get backed off eventually?
I mean, I would back off. I have no problem backing off a tee shot. There is nothing wrong with doing that. I am in the Tiger Woods camp of there is never a bad time to back away from a tee shot.
Love that. So the Country Club adjacent boys, again, they're famous for backing off. Check out their Instagram as well. They backed off Bryson at the World Long Drives. Hilarious video. Love the content that those guys are creating. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing them as the official press corps for these future matches here.
It would definitely be, I think, a winning formula. Either them or you know, maybe us.
One day. We could do it. That's right. One day. Yeah.
We do it.
We're snide enough.
That's right. Let's jump across the pond and talk about the Euro Tour. They got a brand new name.
Yeah. What are your first thoughts when I showed this to you right here? The DP World Tour.
I had to look up what this company was because it felt like a joke.
Really, I love the World Tour.
A really inappropriate joke.
Yeah, you could do that. I was thinking about that for a moment. I was wondering if I was going to go there, so I'm glad you did. Thank you for that.
I didn't want to say a lot, but I did. So,
new season, new name. Things got really weird, admittedly, for the first week of the DP World Tour. I'm exchanging some messages with our friend of the show, Reese Enoch, right now. So they had the Joburg Open, Mike, in South Africa. Now, if you've paid attention to the news in the past week, you know that South Africa has hit the headlines because of a new COVID variant.
So, unfortunately, South Africa has identified the variant first. Not that they got it first, that they identified it first. Let's be clear.
Of course, in the world we live in, that doesn't matter. We're still all going to freak out anyway. So they're playing the Joburg Open, and they shortened the tournament. They didn't even play the full tournament, Mike, because the impending deadline for players to get out of the country and not have to quarantine for 14 days and miss weeks of tournaments to come loomed large. So a lot of guys just pulled right out of the tournament, didn't even finish, just caught the first flight out they could. So a very auspicious start. They still gave away prize money. Guys got open championship exemptions for next year. But a very auspicious start to the DP World Tour era over on the other side of the pond.
Can I be Debbie Downer for a second here?
Yeah, I'll give you 15 seconds, Debbie Downer. Go for it.
This is going to be a bad winter.
I mean, these World Tour guys, I feel bad for them because, the PGA Tour is one thing. They're kind of hunkered down and just, you know, silly season, Hawaii in a month. Like, there's not much going on right now. These World Tour guys, they go to a different country every single week, it feels like. So they're constantly dealing with new regulations. So another hard hurdle for our friends over on the European Tour, a.k.a. now the DP World Tour. But we'll keep you updated on all the events in the next couple weeks in South Africa there as well.
We will indeed. For now, let's jump ahead to the tournament that is happening this weekend. There actually is a little mini tournament going on. It is the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. But the real reason I want to talk about this, and I'm sure you do too, is Tiger Woods. Of course, it's his event. He hosts it every year. As usual, we're recording this on a Monday evening. Tuesday morning, Tiger is going to give a press conference. He's going to talk more about his future. Yeah. I can guess what he's going to say because of an interview that was posted on Golf Digest did, in which he's going to say what I've been saying all along. He is nowhere near ready to come back and compete.
I know you want to pump the brakes. I'll keep hitting the gas for all the Tiger fanboys out there. Don't you worry.
He even said he's not going to be playing anywhere near the level he used to, and that is okay. He's going to do just like Ben Hogan did. He's going to play one, maybe two or three tournaments a year. He's going to pick and choose the ones he wants, and that's going to be it. You're never going to see. He pretty much said he's never going to win a major again. He's probably not going to try to win a major again, and he is okay with that.
Let's see how long that opinion holds up for Tiger Woods. I think he does mean that right now. But let's get to Master season and let's see if that changes come March when he starts to see the build up to Augusta. Let's see when we go by Sawgrass and Torrey Pines and Bay Hill and these events that he's won, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times at, if he's going to pass them up on the calendar. Again, he, like you said, he is months to maybe years away from full recovery, but he's hinted at it already this week. It's not going to be a full schedule ever again. Never really was. He never really played more than 15 to 20 tournaments a year as a pro anyway. I'm thinking optimistically for the Tiger fanboys out there, he could latch himself onto a schedule that is the 4 majors and maybe 3 to 5 more events on the calendar, putting him somewhere in the 8 event range. And like you said, just cherry pick the courses where you're great. You know what I mean? Just make it even that more epic. And, you know, we always used to revel in those Tiger starts when we were kids because we knew he only played 15 or 20 times a year. Imagine the hype now if he's only playing about 6, 7, 8 times a year around those tournaments. That could be really cool to see if the return does come to fruition.
You know, I think he'll play on the PGA Tour again. I don't know if he'll make a cut. So
I just stopped that right there just so we can clip that audio. I'm writing the date down right there. Okay. November 29. Okay. All right. Thank you. Cheers. Right. That's all Tiger needed. I'll be sending that to his team. That's really all the motivation he needs to go and hit balls in the middle of the night, basically.
If that's what he needs, then great. But I think as we have seen over the last couple of years, anyway, even before his injury, Tiger has been changing as a player and as a person, and he is more concerned about his family and having a fun time and enjoying life. That he is, so he was already near that place mentally. So this injury happened at a good place for him mentally to be at, where he could start to accept that his life is changing and this is happening. And so he's okay with him never reaching that monument of excellence again. Yeah. He was able to do really twice. As he said, he climbed Everett twice and he's done that. He doesn't need to do it again. And I really appreciate that he's at a point where he can understand that in himself and be okay with that. At least he's saying that. I don't know if he really is or not, but he's saying that, and I think that's great.
Yeah. Well, one non-negotiable tournament. He's not going to be in it in a couple weeks, but one he'll be in for a while, I know for sure. The father-son. That's a guarantee. We got him in the field for that one next year. So hopefully Tiger is on the mend and looking forward to just hearing more from him in the coming weeks.
That's right. Meanwhile, there is that limited field going on in the Bahamas for the Hero World Challenge. Who knows who's going to win this? Nobody cares. It's just,
I like, you know, JT. Right? I'm just going to go out and say it. I think he's going to be the betting favorite. So I'm going to bet JT. You can check. I think I'll throw a few picks on Twitter at Course of Life 1. I'm out of season right now, but this is one I might come around for. I saw Sam Burns got there early. He's been playing good golf too. So there's a couple guys I might look at. Check out Course of Life 1 Wednesday night for my picks on Twitter though.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. This weekend, I finally got to watch a movie that I've been wanting to see for quite a while since it came out all the way back in 2019, Alex. And that is David Copperfield.
The GOAT of Magic, like I said on the top. No. I mean, the Jordan of Magic, the MJ of Magic.
No.
Is this where you're going to insult me, say something about like Houdini or some other magician or something?
This is the Charles Dickens classic, Alex.
Oh, my God. This is why we do Tuned In, because it's for you to make me more culturally aware. But David Copperfield is the GOAT of Magic, though.
I mean, you can think that if you want. I don't think he really is. I don't think he's that great. I mean, whatever.
All right. Do tell our audience. Go ahead. What am I missing out on?
This is a movie adaptation of Charles Dickens' classic, The Life and Times of David Copperfield. This got a lot of noise back in 2019 because it had what was sometimes referred to as either non-traditional casting or colorblind casting, because the cast was not just a litany of white characters. It starred Dev Patel as David Copperfield. He was fantastic in this. This had a full all-star cast going up and down, was really well done, and is currently free on HBO Max, I think is where I watched it. So go on out there and watch yourself some a movie made from classic literature, not anything to do with magic.
We're going to post a poll this week and say, when you think of David Copperfield, what do you think of? And we're going to put that to rest and see if I have
they're all going to think of magic, but that's because no one reads, you know, anything anymore.
Love that. My tuned in this week is a very relevant movie as well, too. A funny little moment happened to me when I had that California trip out to the Mammoth Media Institute open. I took a walk down to Hollywood Boulevard because I'm a tourist and I had to see the touristy thing because I'd never been there. And lo and behold, I saw a million people in the street with their phones out. I'm like, I love commotion and I love celebrities. What the hell's going on here? It was Will Smith literally walking the red carpet for the premiere of King Richard a couple weeks ago.
That's about the King of England, King Richard, right?
Yes, that's right. Of course. I mean, you're great with your British history, so I knew you would know that immediately.
Exactly, yes.
Yes. Now, King Richard, talking about Richard Williams, father of Venus and Serena, Will Smith playing them in that adaptation, biography of the life of him as a parent. A very eye-opening movie. Really cool for the sports fans out there, and just a lot of perspective onto how their dad operated. He really, really, really planned out these two girls' lives. Like really, really planned everything
Would
out.
Would you say that he planned them like he was a king?
Yes. And there'll be many references to that as well, too. So well done with that sequitur. But yeah, King Richard, a good watch. Will Smith, is this an Oscar-winning performance? I'm just going to dangle that out there. I don't know if it is or not, but he was great. The movie was good. He was great. I would say go see King Richard. Give me your feedback and let me know how you like it out there.
All right, Alex, let's continue with your whole trip that you made out to L.A. We keep talking about it. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks since you've returned. You had that opportunity to rub elbows with a lot of different golfers, celebrities, and everyone in between in L.A. You naturally also were able to find a long driver out there because that's what we do. That's what you do. You find these interesting people.
Yeah, duh. And as soon as I knew there was a long driver there, I had to interview Josh, talking about Josh Cassaday. Friend of Wes Patterson as well, too. We previously had on the show. It was neat to connect with him. He's done some really cool content with the Country Club Adjacent Boys as well, too. We're definitely going to have Josh again. But for now, here's a quick clip from my conversation with him on the first tee at the red carpet.
I'm really curious. You've seen some drives out here. Is there anyone that could come close to clipping you? Can anyone get near you, do you think?
Well, the big fella right here.
Yeah.
The host of today.
Tanner's best ball could. It could be close. I don't know. Love that. Sure. Hey, I'm curious. Big headline in long drive has obviously been Bryson's participation recently. I want to ask, are his bombs the real deal? We see them on TV at the long drive events. How they stack up.
It is 100% the real deal. He is the greatest guy. You know, he's nice to all of us as hitters. He's all about the sport. He's all about growing the brand of long drive. And for us as hitters, we can't be nothing but appreciative of what he's doing, and we love to have him out there. I love teeing it up against him and trying to beat him a little bit.
The buzz at the PLDA was really cool. It was neat to see everyone out there. And hopefully we see a lot more you long driving. I know you live in Colorado, and I think the tip for everyone out there is you got to move to Colorado to hit a little bit further, right? How many extra yards are you getting out there versus a day like today?
I can hit it long anywhere. So just because I'm in Colorado, everybody always tries to say that when I go to charity events out of state. Like, oh, you must be able to hit it really far. Yeah, we all can. It all goes further. It's all relative. But, you know, I'm born and raised in the great state of Colorado, live in Denver, love everything about it.
Josh really has a lot of great things to say about Bryson there and his future in long drive. What do you think, Alex? Is Bryson going to go more long drive, or is he going to stay on the PGA Tour? Or is he going to split his time, or what's going to become the focus for him?
No, he can do both. I mean, I'm curious how many long drive events like per year, like 2022 calendar for Bryson long drive. I'd say the over under is what, maybe like 3.5 is the over under on how many events he does. I think you're going to see him out there more often. He definitely caught the itch. You could tell he caught the bug for long drive and obviously just brought a million more eyeballs to that tournament when he was in it in Mesquite a month back. So yeah, here's to the future. And like Josh said, if Bryson's there, it's just better for everyone out there on the circuit. So that was good to hear.
Other people out there that make golf a better game was all the ladies representing big time at the Mammoth Media Institute Golf
definitely.
Open. Just all the all-stars out there.
I had the Shee sisters, a.k.a. Isabel Shee, the sock girl who you all know on Instagram. Hayden Silt, who has the on and off course brand. It was really cool to see the ladies out there. And by the way, these are ladies that would absolutely run circles around us on the golf course. I'm talking perfect form swing. Like I threw some of them on my Instagram and I'll post some more later this week, but just ripping like 250 yard draws right down the middle of the fairway, like over and over again, some serious talent from the ladies at the tournament as well.
That's right. And you got to talk to most of them, but let's listen to a little bit. You talked with one big name in the golf content creation field, Tisha Allen. Let's listen into this conversation you have with her.
It's a beautiful day. I mean, it surely doesn't feel like November. We're very lucky to have hot weather right now.
I know you're always about always be dancing. Has there been any dancing on the course today? Anything worth dancing for?
No, we haven't. But you know what? We're just like so on the grind. We want to win this so bad that we're just trying to like get those shots in, and we got a really good group going. So we'll bust out some moves at some point, maybe on this red carpet right here.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I know it's you do call the shots. What are we looking at for call the shot right here? What do you think this calls for?
This hole is definitely calling for a right to left drive right here. I think tee it up on the right side of the tee box, get a nice draw in. If Tanner can do that for us, great. If he can't, one of us will get it.
So he's been hitting some butter cuts. He has been hitting a couple draws too. A couple, yeah.
Okay.
But he's going right over the left corner. He's been very aggressive.
I see. Okay, I guess it's a good play too. I think that a draw is a play to go though. If I could pull that off, that'd be great.
Nice. One piece of content I have to ask you about is I saw you did a really cool teaching segment with Kelly O'Hara, the soccer player. I want to hear about that round and how that went.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Kelly is great. I actually just gifted her with a set of Cobra golf clubs and she has no idea yet. It's coming to her. I got her a custom golf bag with her USA number on it. And so she doesn't know yet, so I hope she doesn't see this yet. But she was great and it was one of her first times really it was her first golf lesson, but first time really trying to play. And I was in a simulator, she was in a simulator, and she did great. You know, I mean, these athletes love to be competitive. And so it was really great to be able to teach her, and supposedly she's going to teach me how to play soccer. So if we're able to do that talent swap, I think my life would be made to be taught by her.
Okay, that video is coming soon. I'm looking out for that, definitely.
You know, I love following Tisha on Instagram, just nothing but dancing videos of her in between dancing videos and trick shot videos. So, you know, you're getting something good out of her.
Well, it's fun because we're golfers. So we love following her as a golfer, and B, we also can't dance. So it's nice to see someone who's got amazing moves, who's also got the swag on the golf course, and she delivers on both those fronts. It was neat to catch up with her. And really, really, really neat cast of characters out there. And it was fun being on the first tee all day. A unique scenario for me where I didn't hit a golf shot all day, but I was on the course and loved every minute of it.
I mean, it sounds like you had a pretty awesome day there between seeing all those people that we already talked about. Plus, you, of course, saw past guest Ryan Rotman, and he got a hole in one. So that's pretty awesome.
That was the headline of the week. He had that. What was it, earlier in the week? And I saw it on Instagram. He was doing his victory lap. Actually, his buddies got him a big sign to put on his golf court that said, "Congrats, Ryan, on the hole in one." So big moment for him. One of those hole in ones that hit past the hole and then just bounced right back into the cup on the backspin. That's a really cool way to make your ace. I think it was his second as well, but good to catch up and actually shake hands and meet a former guest of the show. We don't get to do that very often, but that was interesting.
It's true, especially these days where everything is socially distanced, such as it is. And then, you bet Thor's brother as well, right?
I did, yes. I met a Hemsworth, yes.
Yeah.
It was cool to meet Ozzy Luke Hemsworth. He's a friend of Tanner's who put the event on, and it was neat to catch up with him, get the team vibe. It was cool just interviewing each team on the first tee, do the vibe check, see what the drink of choice is, who hit the best shot, who hit the worst one. I post some of those interview clips in my stories and reels as well on Instagram. I'm at Course of Life Alex, and we're also at COL Podcast, and we'll be recirculating some more of those conversations I had as well.
I can't wait, Alex, to see all that. I've already seen a lot of it. I can't wait to see more of it.
Oh yeah, I mean, soap opera stars, former Holy Moly contestants, Mike. Mm. A couple other actors too. They're in some very interesting projects. I didn't even tell you about that. We're going to have some interviews coming our way here in the next few weeks. So a lot to look forward to, but definitely want to just first and foremost thank Tanner Beard for having me out there. That was a really cool invite to have a past guest of the show. Give me that connect, have him out there for his event. And this was all for a great cause. This is all going back to the Institute and the charity that helps put people through film school as well too. So this is a full circle effort, and it was neat to see Tanner and his crew out there. Him, Tomek, everyone that put the event together. It was fantastic. Definitely looking forward to being on more red carpets as well in the future.
Can't wait to see it. And you also had the opportunity to hand out some District Fox phone caddies while you're out there to some of those star players out there on the red carpet. And of course, District Fox has been a longtime sponsor and friend of our show. You know, and we don't just hang around with them because, you know, we have this partnership. We also love their product. They have that wonderful phone caddy that holds your phone in place on the golf cart. So you don't need to worry about putting it on the seat next to you in that spot where the towel goes underneath the dash, you know, that weird spot. You just stick it on there right on the pole in your golf cart. It's available to use all day long. Yeah. And it's also a great gift for the holidays. It's great.
Again, I said it on Twitter, under $25 stocking stuffer. You can't go wrong with our sponsors. We love our sponsors. Shout out to Scott and Eric and the team. We absolutely love the phone caddy. And it's a talk about it product when you show this off on the golf course. When you latch that thing onto the cart, you put your phone up there, people kind of immediately take notice. You get a lot of looks. People are kind of like, well, what is this thing? And you get to kind of go into the wonderful story about Desert Fox. So I love the convenience that it brings. And it definitely is a talker on the course.
It really is. And like we said, it's under $25 and you'll save 10% on a phone caddy when you use our promo code, which is Course of Life. You can get their bright orange phone caddy, which is the color I have. It's the one I love because it really shouts to everyone that you have one. Yes. So you get to start that conversation with everyone. You also can get black on black, which is just super sharp and sexy. Or you can get something from the Patriotic line as well to show your support for a police officer, firefighter, or veteran in your life. So you can head on over to their website. It's desertfoxgolf.com and use the promo code that we have for you, Course of Life. You get 10% off. Again, that's promo code Course of Life at desertfoxgolf.com. And we're back. Let's get right in to college football, Alex, because this coming weekend, we're going to know who's playing in the big bowl games. My money is on Georgia to go all the way.
Yes, that is a nice, safe pick, Mike. You cannot go wrong with the Georgia Bulldogs this year. The dominant number one team they have been all year. Just shut out Georgia Tech in their final game there. The prohibitive number one team. We're going to get a Georgia-Alabama matchup. Alabama teetering with a loss now. They can't afford a second, but how they beat Georgia is beyond me. So, safe to say Georgia locking themselves into the playoff. But it was a crazy Saturday this past weekend, rivalry weekend. We saw Michigan take down Ohio State finally in the snow. There was snow football everywhere. And Mike, whenever I see snow football, you'll appreciate this. What happens is the technology is not allowed to show us that wonderfully convenient yellow first down line anymore in a snowy field. And you remember what life was like before that thing. Boy, that's a really tough watch when you don't know where the first down marker is.
Back in the day, like reminding kids that we used to have to call the movie theater to find out what movies were playing or look in the newspaper.
Yes, shout out to the Seinfeld movie phone episode as well, too. Yes. If you're really desperate, you just call the movie phone. Yeah,
it's true. I do want to shout out, though, that we've come to another end of college football season here. And once again, our alma mater, our Quinnipiac University Bobcats, are undefeated. They have not lost a single game this season. Go Bobcats.
That is 93 seasons in running. Mike. People don't realize that that's the longest streak unbeaten in Division I football ever.
Yeah.
So it's
we've never lost a game.
To throw our cap on there. Shout out to the Bobcats as well, too. But yes, obviously the college football talk going crazy right now. This Sunday, they predict the Final Four. Oh, God. I feel like Notre Dame's going to like squeak in because chaos just seems right this year. So I don't know. Georgia, Oklahoma State, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Bama. It's a mess. I'm really even having a hard time predicting the four, but I appreciate that we're at least getting some fresh blood in there and there's some new teams instead of the old usuals.
Yeah, we'll get some fresh teams in there and then they'll promptly lose and we'll get our typical, you know, final matchup.
That's right. We'll see you in the championship for Georgia and Alabama, just like it always is. One fun random shout out, Mike. I had two Texas tailgates tour stops this season on my college football journey. And both teams that were featured in those games, you remember Texas State played against Baylor and the Texas Longhorns played against Oklahoma State. Baylor and Oklahoma State, they're going to meet in the Big 12 title game. So I saw two of those teams. They're now going to play in Dallas at Jerry World for the title. We'll see if one of them can sneak in the playoff. The only one that really has the chance, realistically, is Oklahoma State. But that's the wrap on college football for this week. It's a crazy one, and it'll be even crazier after we unveil the playoff on Sunday.
That's right, indeed. The next thing we're going to talk about is something that I canceled last week, so I'm not going to talk about it, so I'm just going to let you go. Let me know when you're done. I'm going to go get a drink. So
that's right. No. Patriots, 6 in a row. More snow football as well, too. Shout out to the Pats for getting it done, 36-13. But I can't believe it, Mike. I'm going to work in 10 seconds of New York Giants football coverage because they show the lovely graphic on NBC Sunday Night Football where they list all the teams that are still potentially in the hunt. And guess what, my friend? You are in the hunt at 4-7. How does it feel?
I'm sorry, what? I just put my headphones back on. I was getting a drink.
Yeah, it was amazing to see that you guys made that graphic. But shout out to the NBC Sports production team, who are clearly New York Giants fans, for putting them on that graphic, being in the hunt at 4-7. The Patriots keep it rolling, and we'll check in next week and see what they do in Buffalo on Monday night. That should be a pretty good test.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yes, let's do it. Brought to you by our friends at Tosi, makers of the Super Bites. Tosi.com/COL. Our promo code is COL20. Get yourself some holiday healthy snacks today. Recapping Turkey Day, birthday week for you. Mm-hmm. Hanukkah's arrived. All the things. It was a great food week here. How did the turkey go? Did you cook it correctly?
Turkey was great. It was super juicy. Had a nice long brine the day before. Spatchcocked, grilled, butter basted with this maple orange butter glaze that went on it the whole way through. It's great to do a turkey on the grill because it doesn't, you know, it cooks quickly when it's spatchcocked. It was done in like an hour and a half. Your oven is available for all the side dishes that you need. All your friends are bringing that they need to heat up, so you don't need to worry about any of that. It was fantastic. But the biggest hit at my table, and I'm curious to hear what the biggest hit on your table was, was the flaky butter biscuits that I made out of Cheryl Day's new cookbook, Treasury of Southern Baking, who, by the way, we just interviewed on last week's brand new Always End With Food podcast.
Hello. Great promo there. Always End With Food Pod on Instagram if you want to check that out. And that interview was a great one. Yeah, nice buttery flaky biscuits. You can never, never go wrong there. Let's see. Greatest hit that I made. Honestly, I really came through with stuffing this year. I don't often make stuffing. I'm not even really a huge stuffing fan, but I did a wonderful kind of, it was a combination of like a stovetop with a homemade mix for stuffing as well too. So I did a little mix concept there. Threw in a little Italian sausage that I threw in with the queso dip earlier into the stuffing. That was a good move. So I think the stuffing was the sleeper that got it done this year. It was easy doing baked potatoes out of the air fryer. If you're looking for a mashed potato alternative, that's definitely it. The Cajun turkey worked pretty well with the seasoning as well. So overall, no complaints. And I think we're on to Christmas. We'll let the Christmas food talk begin, right?
Hanukkah. Hello. It's the middle of Hanukkah right now. Monday night, night two, Tuesday night when this drops, night three. We got 8 crazy nights of Hanukkah.
Latkes, baby. Latkes.
Latkes. It's raining latkes, man. It's raining latkes.
Nice. I love it. Enjoy your Hanukkah week celebration and food as well, too. Light that menorah up in honor of the holiday season. Indeed, that's a wrap on this week's Course of Life. We'll see everyone next week.